How has no one picked the Cider House rules? It's Nerd Rage, the Great Debates. Coming at you live from Comedio HQ, you're listening to Nerd Rage, the Great Debates, the podcast equivalent of Smooth by Carlos Santana, also from 1999. I'm your host and moderator, Mark Abrigo, and today we're here with the final part of our tournament dedicated to the best movies of 1999. We went from eight debaters to four, and we're about to find out who is going to be representing the best movie. Now, here's the thing. I'm a big fan of throwing wrenches into machines, and I know that we came into this with movies from last round. I'm going to switch it up in a very M. Night Shyamalan Sixth Sense kind of way. We're going to be giving you guys the opportunity to change your movie. In fact, not even an opportunity. I'm just going to tell you, you're changing your movie, and you have.
I can't do Deep Blue Sea anymore?
No, because we found out what happens when you give Steven Deep Blue Sea.
Can I do Deep Blue Sea? I haven't seen it either.
Can I do Lake Placid? I haven't seen that one.
If either of them picks a movie they haven't seen, this is Wonder Dave. I'm not on this episode for reasons that are mysterious to me. If either of them picks a movie they haven't seen, I am rioting and taking their microphone away from them and taking their spot. Thank
Good.
You.
Good. Well, all right. Now, if this is your first time listening to Nerd Rage, this is where basically a bunch of nerds get together and we argue about shit. And this is the best movies of 1999 tournament. We've gotten these folks in front of me right now. But before we get into that, let's do some housekeeping. Check out NerdRagePodcast.com for a bunch of episodes. We are now in season three. You'd know that if you listen to our music and we're like, what the fuck is that? That is our new theme, courtesy of Will Scoville here, producer Will. Not vacation Will, but just straight up producer Will. And if you want to give us some money, give us some of that cheddar to keep the show going, head over to our Patreon at comed.io. We're going to go ahead and just get the semifinals started. And I'm very, very nervous because these two have joked about putting in movies that they haven't seen. And I hope that's not the case.
Generally nervous like I am all the time?
No, okay. No. Thank God.
Yeah, so, you're lucky.
So these two, they went ahead and represented two movies in our last episode. The first of which is Tiramari Jyothi. Give it up for Tiramari. Hey.
Hello.
Now, Tiramari, you brought the Iron Giant into this tournament.
Right.
And because I'm a jerk and told you to change, what are you going to be doing now?
Well, so I know that my victory wasn't expected in the first round. And I take that very seriously. I understand there's a lot of responsibility on my shoulders now. And so I feel like I need to choose a movie that no one will complain about. So I have chosen episode one, The Phantom Menace.
I'm going to fucking kill you, Tiramari
Jyothi.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
I already messed up.
Excellent. Now,
okay, cool.
Now, curiosity, did you actually like that movie?
That's the thing. And, I mean, I'm glad you're priming me for this. Full disclosure, we worked on a Star Wars, Star Trek sketch comedy show together where you were my director.
Right.
And so we talked about this at the writers' meetings. I do enjoy that movie. I was 10 years old in 1999 when that movie came out. I saw it in theaters. That shit, when you're 10 years old, is hype as fuck. Like, people have complaints about the movies. They talk about, like, the space diplomacy and stuff. I don't remember that. You know what I mean? Like, I zoned out as a kid. That was fine enough for me. The rest of it was fucking great, and I will talk about that.
Well, to counter that, I used to eat my boogers when I was 10, and I found out that was bad for me.
I mean,
that's pretty late for booger eating, man.
Hey, man, yeah. I was on a very particular diet, so
I would never do that, but I also will say I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And that's my point.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going with Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, and we're going up against a big fan of that movie, Stephen Koo. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
I was shaking my head no the entire time you said that. I was the same age as you, and I didn't. You know what? We'll get to the debate.
All right, fine. Now, Stephen, you came into this with Deep Blue Sea, which you hadn't seen.
And I won.
And you won.
Proceed to the next round with
you
Deep
won.
Blue Sea.
What... What movie are you going with this time for the
semis? This time I'm going to go with a very formative movie for all of us. It was 1999, and it was a wild time for all of us. And that's why I'm going to go with the Wiki Wild Wild West.
The Wikipedia page for Wild
Yeah, wait.
Before Wikipedia, there was another wiki that was more important.
So this is, so you're... We're doing Wild Wild West, seriously.
Wiki, Wild Wild West.
Wiki, oh, Christ, stop.
Wild, wild. The animated series that ran on Disney Channel.
I'm also realizing now, Steven is actually the biggest Star Wars nerd that I personally know. So
and the biggest Wild Wild West nerd.
That I regretfully also know, yes.
All right. Well, we're going to go in and hear we're going to go ahead and get into the debate with you guys here. Now, you guys know how this works. We're going to give you 2 minutes to make your case and then a one-minute rebuttal. But if this is your first time listening to the show, you're going to hear some sound effects here. So when a debate starts, you'll hear this. With 10 seconds left, you'll hear this. And theoretically, when they're done, you'll hear this. Steven, we're going to be starting with you, good sir.
It's good.
I'm sure you've got a lot to say about Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West.
Thank you for pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, Jesus. We're going to hear from you, sir. 2 minutes on the clock, producer Will, in 3, 2, and 1.
Now, The Phantom Menace is, without a doubt, a movie mired in controversy. But you know what movie has zero controversy? Wild Wild West. Nobody is ever on the internet arguing in defense of or against the Wild Wild West. We're not setting the internet on fire with it. We all know what it is, and we've all accepted that. Let's talk about the cultural impact of these movies, because I think that's an important point for these movies. Phantom Menace, how many... Give me a quote from The Phantom Menace. I don't really think of anything other than midichlorians, blaming things on midichlorians. I'm struggling to think of memorable lines from Phantom Menace.
Zibulba.
That's just a person's name, buddy.
Well, yeah, but the way he says it is so great.
That's just a name and a guy saying his own name.
It's so great.
But Wild Wild West does have cultural impact that is still relevant to this day in the form of their promotional tie-ins with Burger King, which gave us the brilliant Rodeo Junior Cheeseburger that is still on Burger King's dollar menu to this day. The Rodeo Junior Cheeseburger is a cheeseburger that has revolutionized the fast food industry by offering 24/7 a Western-style cheeseburger that was previously only available. The only time you could get a Western cheeseburger was like, oh, I hope a cowboy movie comes out so we can get a fucking Western cheeseburger. But Burger King was like, Wild Wild West is here to stay, and so is this burger. So they brought us the Rodeo Junior Cheeseburger. That's a cheeseburger with barbecue sauce and onion rings. God. And that burger is imitated by other restaurants all over the place. Anytime you find a Western burger, what do you think the word Western came from? The Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West. I rest my case. Thank you very much.
Would you say you west your case?
I would. I west my case. Thank you.
I mentioned this off mic, but Wild Wild West gave us one of the most memorable MTV Movie Awards performances because Drew Hill, Will Smith, and Stevie Wonder came out because Stevie Wonder's was what they sampled for the Wild Wild West song. And after the performance, Drew Hill walked off stage, Will Smith walked off stage, and Stevie Wonder just sat there as the set moved and he looked around like, what's going on? So check that out if you can. It's really fun. Now, I don't know if Tiramari, The Phantom Menace has a fun MTV like video movie awards performance, but he's shaking his head. No. So let's see what you got, sir. We have 2 minutes on the clock for you in 3, 2, and 1.
So here's the thing. That fucking song, when you heard it and you saw the lightsabers, you were ready for a lightsaber battle. And when you look at, you know, movies 4, 5, and 6, they're incredible films, no doubt. But watching, like, an old Obi-Wan and Darth Vader sort of kind of, like, just tease each other with their lightsabers, that wasn't really, like, sword fighting as much as it was just two old guys staring at each other. And when you saw the fucking choreography, I'm saying this as a 10-year-old in theaters, it was the coolest shit that I had ever seen. Star Wars Episode I also gave us pod racing, which was never addressed again, but also resulted in, I would say, one of the best racing video games of all time, Star Wars Pod Racing. Fucking
yes,
excellent game. Thank you. I will. There were a lot of fun moments. There was a lot of fun humor. There was good action. There was CGI. It was a spectacle. People were ready for it. This was the next chapter in a very defining series. And thank you for the music for backing me up in here.
You're thanking your own music that you brought.
Yes. my own plant. Wild Wild West So the producer of Wild Wild West is a famous guy named John Peters, who used to be a hairdresser. He was notorious for not knowing how to make movies, but it was the 90s, so people let him do it. And Kevin Smith has a really good story online, you can look it up, where he talks about working with John Peters on Superman initially. And John Peters kept asking for a mechanical spider, a giant mechanical spider. He kept begging for it. And Kevin Smith was like, "What the fuck are you talking about, dude?" And then John Peters made Wild Wild West. And what do you see in that movie? A giant mechanical spider. The guy had no idea what he was doing. The movie is like too sexual for kids, but then too dumb for adults. And you're just watching it and you're like, what's going on? Is he a gay stereotype, that villain? Who are these characters? Are they fucking? Is that relevant to the movie? And the answer is no to almost all of it, except the gay stereotyping the villain.
I will say one positive of Wild Wild West that I remember is that you apparently get to see the bottom of Will Smith's nutsack at the beginning of the movie.
Just the very bottom?
Just the very bottom.
Get to see it swinging.
Wow.
Well, we haven't seen the Aladdin movie yet, so.
the audience is really on board with that for some reason.
How did you do that without also showing the dick?
It was a shot from behind when he like drops
and
the trowel.
And he was fully erect or something?
No, you just see the base, gotcha, the gotcha. Base of the bag, as it were.
The base of the bag, yeah.
Right, you can just Google it, that's what I did.
It's not easy to do, so I'd consider that an artistic point in our favor.
Steven, 1 minute on the clock here for you, talking Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West, Wiki Wiki, in 3, 2, and 1.
Going in the opposite direction of my previous statement where I was talking about cultural impact, let's talk about the lack of cultural impact that our movies have created and the responsibility that comes with that. Now, Wild Wild West gave us a Western Junior cheeseburger and nothing else. Nothing else of danger. But let's talk about some of the dangers that Phantom Menace has introduced into so many things. It introduced midichlorians, which gives the premise that it doesn't matter how hard you try or how much you practice. It's all about what you're born with rather than anything else. Yeah, it is racist and it's awful. And the Force is apparently racist and favors people based on their genetics and not their actual skill or talent. Let's talk about some of the other things that the Phantom Menace has done. The Phantom Menace broke open a new wave of Hollywood green screening. It created green screening and using that as a substitute for practical effects. And it opened the doors for that. And then it gave us the worst thing ever. Because if you look up online a picture of Sir Ian McKellen as Gandalf sitting by himself in front of a green screen with no one else, he's mentioned that that picture is him at his absolute saddest and when he considered quitting acting because of how lonely he was because of green screens that were introduced by the Phantom Menace. Thank you.
Damn, that was a very... And you saw the movie. This is...
I saw both movies.
Doing well. All right. Tiramari.
We're in the finals.
Tiramari, you heard what Steven said. Let's see if you could hit back in 3, 2, and 1.
I just want to get that in there. Okay, so here's the thing about midichlorians. I acknowledge that was a thing that was developed in episode 1, but specifically Qui-Gon tells Anakin that they measured the amount of midichlorians. It doesn't necessarily say that you're born with a certain amount. I would argue that the Force is an intrinsic element of nature or, a physical sort of thing that is manifested in you in some way, and the midichlorians are sort of a causal effect. Correlation doesn't imply causation. That's what I mean to say. So I think the midichlorians argument is just a bunch of people not understanding science. Also, you say that the Wild Wild West, people acknowledge that it's like a bad movie and people don't hate it or like it. They're just very neutral about it. That's how you open the argument. That sounds like a dead marriage to me. And I think that episode one teaches us that you need to acknowledge the problems in your relationships, because the backstory of it, of course, is that George Lucas, this is the popular backstory that I think maybe deserves more nuance, but not for this. George Lucas divorced his wife, and he thought he could do a better job without her as his editor, and then clearly couldn't, because she kept him in check for a lot of his earlier decisions in the original trilogy. Thank you. We should be honest with each other.
For you.
I think it is. I think what I'm saying is that episode 1 is a lesson that we all should remember, and then also it's hype as fuck. Okay.
Boom, he hit you with the hype as fuck argument.
Also, the pinball game for Phantom Menace is fucking dope.
That's not fair.
Yeah, thank you.
Wild West had a pinball machine too.
Yeah, but the pinball game for episode 1 actually like pioneered a lot of that new crazy screen technology and stuff. It was super fascinating. I'm just here to shut up, Steven. I don't even know why you're in this round. thank you.
To be fair, if I can throw in an argument for your sake, it kept Wild Wild West obviously had that theme with Drew Hill and
I'm holding my punches. I didn't even bring up the Cisco kids.
I was going to say that kept the American public sort of attention on Cisco for what would be the Thong Song later released that year. So
that's four. Are you kidding me,
dude? Look, as somebody who has dumps like a truck, I just want to say, all right, we're going to go ahead and stop it, Tiramisu.
Stop playing that, Tiramisu. We do not have the licensing rights to use that much of this music.
That's a good point.
All right, we're going to go ahead and give this one to the studio audience. We're going to figure out who's going to be moving on to the finals of this. So if you want to give it to Steven and Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West, let's hear ya.
What? Is this because I didn't play a bunch of the Wild Wild West song throughout my argument?
And if you want to give this to Tiramisu in Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, the champion we all want, Tiramisu Jyothi. He is the winner, undoubtedly.
I don't understand what Wonder Dave's doing.
Tiramisu, you're moving on to the finals, sir.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
I feel like I'm full of endorphins right now. I don't know what this is. Yeah.
Steven, what do you think Tiramisu is full of right now?
I accidentally, like, as I was giving my argument, hyped myself for Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Like, read the Rodeo Junior Cheeseburger. I think I'm actually going to go home and order and eat a bunch of them.
And right. Speaking of other things that Steven is known for in my life, I have never had more conversations about fast food than with Steven Koo.
I have a lot of opinions and a lot of
I value your opinions about fast food. You recommend fast food to me all the time, and I will go out of my way to try it.
Well, Steven, you are the most equipped to go get some fast food right now because you're out of the tournament. So,
yes.
What do you want to plug before we get out of here?
Go follow at the Super Coup on Twitter. That's T H E S U P E R K U to read my full 78-page screenplay of Fast Fangs, a screenplay about vampires street racing.
It is incredible. It's incredible.
Thank you.
I'm heavily campaigning to be in it.
I want to be Deacon.
There's rules for everyone.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, and that is going to be it as we're going into the semifinals. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the second half of the semifinals and then the finals, obviously, after the break.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever enjoyed a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
And we are back here on Nerd Rage, the Great Debates, where we are in the semifinals of our best movies of 1999. Now, if you didn't hear the first part of this episode, we've decided to switch it up in a very Sixth Sense kind of way by basically forcing everybody to change their movie. One of the main reasons why is that there were a shit ton of really good movies during 1999, and I wanted to make sure that a lot of them didn't get left out. So we are here with the other half of the semifinals here, and we're going to go ahead and introduce them again, as well as the new movie that they've picked. So on my left, I've got a gentleman who represented Galaxy Quest, which was an excellent first haymaker to throw in this tournament, but we've asked you to change. And Sam Burtkin, who does the Bring Your Own Movie podcast, as well as does work for Killing My Lobster in San Francisco. What have you decided to choose?
Forget taste. Forget smell. Forget sight. forget hearing, forget touch. It's all about the sixth sense.
Ah, there we go. I knew where that was going with that.
I was like, man, he's going to do all five.
All
right.
All five. I am long-winded, if nothing else. Podcasts were made for me.
So, Sixth Sense. Now, is this a movie that you saw immediately, or did you get spoiled to it? What
happened? I got spoiled to it hardcore, and it's a different movie to watch, I imagine, when you don't know what's about to happen, but that's kind of true for all spoilers and why we don't like them. So, really cool insight from me on that one. I only watched it way later on. I'm not a big horror movie person, and as far as horror movies goes, this isn't really I like it, so it means that it's not very scary. But I think it's I think it's a good movie. I think you get some good Bruce Willis, I think you get some great Haley Joel Osment, but I'm gonna save that juice for when I have to talk about why it's so great.
Well, a question, I don't know if this is gonna cut into your points, but was this a movie where you went, man, this Shyamalan guy, he's going places?
I saw it, well, like, the spoiler of his career had already been spoiled.
Okay.
Well, after
okay.
this.
Okay.
So I look forward to us collectively shitting on Shyamalan.
Got it. All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much, Sam. Facing you is somebody who went ahead and represented, oh my God, hold on. I've got it. I'm still kind of drunk. This is Christy Ono, ladies and gentlemen. Christy, what was the movie again? That's
office
right.
Space.
Yes, Office Space. Sorry, I just.
Oh, I thought you were doing Office Space again, and I was like, oh, I know, okay, I was cool. Like, you said it was going to be a surprise.
Well, as soon as I. Okay, well, what movie are you going to be representing this time around, Christy?
I. In a surprise move, I'm going to defend Galaxy Quest again.
What?
Whoa!
Yeah.
No!
Hi, guess what? The rules weren't written well enough, so I'm not picking Galaxy Quest. Because it is truly the best movie of 1999, and I hope that it wins the tournament. You know what I'm telling you to do, whoever goes into the finals.
Low key, I was like, I don't want to go against Tiramari, and now I really don't want to go against Tiramari. Not that I was ever going to.
Guys, shenanigans are afoot, and I am here for it. Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I was like, oh, Mark, you forgot what Christy did in the first round, but we're going to end up doing one that we did in the previous round, which I actually really like still.
May chaos reign forever.
Exactly. So,
by Grab Thar's hammer.
Which is great because when we were talking about movies that we were going to pick earlier, this is the one that you originally wanted to do.
I really wanted
right?
to pick this one.
Now, is this a movie?
This is a vendetta move.
Yeah, it is.
Without a doubt. Christy is the biggest Trekkie that we have here at Comedio, so for her to do this, it just feels right. What was it about this movie that made you go, this is one of the greatest movies of all time? Because at this point, I don't think really Star Trek was in sort of the public eye as much at this point, yeah?
Yeah, it was not getting as much attention as it is currently or was like earlier in the 90s, and it was just a... Man, it just spoke to a very nerdy part of me. It was like, yeah, this is me. This is my people. This is what we do. I love it. Right. And, I mean, it wasn't, it was, like, critical, but not in kind of a fun way. So it was very, like, I don't know, self-aware of itself. And, like, I think the fandoms of Star Trek, this is getting a little serious, and my feelings are actually behind this. Yeah. It was just very much like... Yeah, we're kind of weird, but we're into it. We're all into it together, so that means we could all be friends, and that's cool. You know, email my internet friends, and we'll go to a hotel and have a good time.
Yeah.
Conventions, that's what I'm talking about. Not like...
We all know what happens after the convention.
Yeah, it's a big, weird nerd fest orgy. It's great.
Where do you
have
think
a good time.
Fest started? What?
I don't know. Oh. Hey, is somebody who is a card-carrying member of the Rainforest event.
Hey.
Sam, we're going to start with you, Godzilla. You have 2 minutes on the clock to make your case about The Sixth Sense, and let's hear from you in 3, 2, and 1.
I like to see dead people.
Weird. Your take, bud.
Yeah. This was the last great Shyamalan movie. I might be wrong. It might be the first great Shyamalan movie. Career definitely didn't play out well after this one, but he definitely introduced... He had a cultural impact on... all of film and all of our culture, because you can't walk... Well, I mean, we all know what a Shyamalan twist is now, and that was because of him. Into the movie. I think Haley Joel Osment should be commended for being such a talented child actor and then not having a weird teen period where he just got really into drugs. I think I respect him for that. What? Did he?
I don't know.
Oh. You did meth with Haley Joel Osment? He didn't say that. I think it's great. I think Toni Collette gives an awesome performance as a single mom trying to make it work as the child in a home with a single mom. I really appreciated seeing that later on. I think it was very true to life. It's a very stressful experience, so good on you, Toni Collette. Just a great actress in general. Bruce Willis taught us how not to be a psychiatrist. You definitely shouldn't stalk people. You should have an office. You should not be dead. That's the twist. And I think it was just great. If that spoiled you, what's the like rent on that rock you're living under like? I just love that ghosts are finally getting a fair shot. I'm now pandering to the ghost listening audience for this podcast.
That's most
I think
of
it's
our
great
audience.
That you guys and other dead people got the chance to star in this film. So great job there. Boo.
I think that's going to be oh, hey, there we go. So we've got a few seconds left, but I think we're pretty much done here. Well, thank you very much, Sam. We are going to move over to Christy, who in that vendetta move is doing Galaxy Quest. Hopefully we can garner some new points because I know Sam came with the fire last time. Christy probably's got some stuff herself. So let's hear from her. 2 minutes on the clock, Will, in 3, 2, and 1.
Well, I chose Galaxy Quest because, as you know, you never surrender. You know what I mean?
I never give up.
Exactly. And I hope that everyone in this room can just finally open their hearts and surrender to the absolute love that is Galaxy Quest. Like, it is the finest movie of 1999. And I don't know. I just can't think of any other movie that I would want to win this tournament. Like, mm-hmm. Sixth Sense was fine, but it also brought us M. Night Shyamalan, you know? That's rough. That's rough for a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just don't want to celebrate ghosts like that when you can really celebrate the exploration of space and the continuation of the great legacy of Star Trek in its many forms. And conventions, real fun.
Mm-hmm.
Go to conventions, meet your heroes. And, you know, they say don't meet your heroes, but look at this. Your heroes being flawed and then rising again to be heroes once more. That is beautiful. I mean, Tim Allen's fine. I was going to be like, you know what? He's going to be fine. Sigourney Weaver as a sex symbol. Love it. Alan Rickman. Just put him in everything. Sadly, we cannot. But I mean, if your movie speaks anything to the truth of ghosts, man, he might be in a lot of stuff, and only Bruce Willis can see that. Oh, well, that's too bad. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I just want you to know that it was a beautiful scene where the child actor in my movie grew up, and like he was able to fly the spaceship because he had created this whole system of piloting that ship in the show,
mm-hmm.
and it's a beautiful thing
I think so too.
To see the redemption of a child actor. I don't know what's happening either.
We're going to go ahead and go back to Sam here. Sam, you've got a minute on the clock to make your rebuttal against that very heartfelt argument mm-hmm. from Christy Ono here. We're going to hear from you in 3, 2, and 1.
Look, I'm not an asshole. I don't really like Sixth Sense that much, but Galaxy Quest is fucking awesome.
It is so
I'm just
going to awesome.
Be here for you right now. There are so many great moments in Galaxy
it
Quest.
It is. It's so good.
There's a reason I picked it first,
yeah.
and I don't like Sixth Sense that much, so
the
with
Sixth
your
Sense
indulgence, I just want to relive some great moments mm-hmm. from Galaxy Quest right
yeah.
now and just throw the Sixth Sense out the window. We can just have 2 minutes of that. Does that sound good, Mark? Or is that
I'm good with it.
All right, cool.
I think this podcast should be now dedicated to Galaxy Quest.
Absolutely.
No more debates. Just Galaxy Quest forever.
I think it's important because I don't know where my notes went, but I had a bunch of quotes put down last time mm-hmm. that I didn't put in there. I think one of my favorite moments is uh-huh. when they're in the green room at the beginning, right before they're about to go onto the convention, and Alan Rickman starts having his conniption, and he just says like he starts having it, and then Tim Allen's like, there were 5 curtain calls, and like, there were 5 curtain calls, and he gets up and busts open the door and walks out. That's such a great moment.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
My favorite random line that I just like to throw out whenever is like, explain it to him as if you were a child.
Oh my
and
god.
And I'm just like,
that
yeah,
destroys
that's
me.
It was so sad, but also just the best way to explain things to people.
Explain like I'm five.
Yeah.
Well, this is unprecedented. I think the two competitors are working in concert with each other, and I don't know what to do.
We can use my turn to just shit on The Sixth Sense.
Okay. Then yeah. Let's go ahead and do that. Tit for tat here. Okay. Christy and Sam, mm-hmm. you yeah. have a minute on the clock in yeah. 3, 2, and 5.
It's really not a very good movie at
it's
all.
It's not. The heavy-handed symbolism of the red, just awful.
Oh, God, just no, awful. So terrible. And, like, it could have been so much scarier.
It could have.
Like, especially in the first half, but, like, the scariest thing you get is, like, him walking up to a cabinet. What's scary about cabinets?
Nothing, man.
Furniture.
Just China in there.
Yeah, and then the kids are so mean to him, but that's, like, real. That, like, creates drama you feel for Haley Joel Osment, but I was feeling for him before he
you
got, like, bullied
is?
Intensely.
Is I think that it created spoilers. It created the concept of spoilers with a big blockbuster movie, and they're like, but there's going to be a twist at the end, you know? Like,
the problem with pandering to ghosts is that
Mike
even if they like
Manfred,
it,
Zaddy, what are
you're,
you doing
you're
going to
be getting booze. That's the problem with pandering to ghosts.
Get out of
nice,
here.
Nice, nice.
He was pulled away from his video games to
he
just
he came
do
over
that
to make
pun.
That pun. He walked
that's
10
what the
feet to make that pun.
Does to people. That's
yeah.
disgusting.
It really ruins lives.
Munchausen by proxy, that was in there. I think that taught
oh, yeah,
a lot of
yeah,
really
true.
Sick people
yeah.
how to make their kids sick for attention. That's horrible. Look what they did to the
you
children
know what's
of America.
Cool, though, that scene when she leaves and comes back and all the cabinets are open, that was like the only good part of that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Well, there is one other positive from The Sixth Sense. For those that may know me, I am a bit of a boy band fanatic, and Mark Wahlberg is in The Sixth Sense as one of the original ghosts that Haley Joel Osment sees. I think he's the druggie.
What?
He's like under the bed or something. Not Mark Wahlberg, sorry, Donnie
Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Boy band ghosts in The Sixth Sense?
No, Donnie Wahlberg.
Was this one of the cuts you watched on like VH1?
No, Donnie. Did you watch that movie?
Donnie Wahlberg played one of the ghosts that Haley Joel Osment sees, I think, at the very beginning. He's the one who's like cold and shit, and he's like super skinny and shit. Whatever. You just check it out. I know my boy band stuff. All right.
Got it.
I don't know how we're going to do this. If you want to give it to Sam and Christy. For Galaxy
oh,
Quest,
dude,
let's hear it.
What if we both gang up on Tiramari in the next round?
That same shit.
All right.
We
if,
have the same movie in Tiramari
no,
Galaxy Quest.
Listen, if Tiramari's a
how much
true
more Galaxy Quest can you
sweetie,
milk?
He will take Galaxy Quest, yeah, so Galaxy Quest can champion this whole thing.
Okay.
We'll pick whatever. We'll take
hey,
Fight Club. How about
everybody
that?
Everybody out there in the studio audience.
Yeah.
If you want to do, or if you want to give this to Sam and Christy
mm-hmm.
for Galaxy Quest, let's hear ya.
Yeah.
I guess.
Look what
well,
we did.
You heard the studio
you invited
audience.
Us.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Never appearing on this
sorry,
podcast again.
Christy and Sam. The Sixth Sense is not winning, but Sam and Christy, the Galaxy Quest is moving on.
We were just so scared of going alone against
I know what happened. What
I'm
going
to try to figure this out. We're going to move into the finals where we're going to go up against Tiramari Jyothi. Yep. The world is crazy. Mm-hmm. Back after this. We are back here on Nerd Rage, The Great Debates, where we are in the finals of the best movie of 1999, and this has been quite the journey if you've been following it so far.
Quest, you might even say.
We started with 8 debaters with their own movies, moved on to the semis, where we made them change their movies, and now in an unprecedented twist, Tiramari Jyothi is in a finals. No. and in an unprecedented twist, Tiramari is in the finals with a... Against a pairing who were actually against each other in the semis and have now pulled a Thor Loki and are now on the same side against
a
what
Thoki.
I against
hey.
Tiramari, who is very clearly Cate Blanchett. So, are we changing? I'm throwing this out there because you guys, I'm letting the inmates run the asylum here. Are we changing movies again?
Yes.
We have to.
We have to.
Okay.
That was what you said earlier.
All right. I didn't know if we were really doing that. Sam, Christy, what are we doing?
A movie that we shouldn't be talking about.
Fight Club.
Fight Club. I'm really shocked that nobody picked that, honestly.
We just picked
round.
It.
Well, in the first round, I was just... All right.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
What's going on?
Oh.
Then I am joining Tiramari Jyothi representing Galaxy Quest. Huh? Huh?
that's
Mike
right.
Manfred is jumping in for the Fight Club here.
Do you know that the Fight Club is actually The Great Gatsby?
Save that juice.
Don't expand on it yet. Don't worry about it.
All right. So
it's on our team.
So we've got Christy, Sam, Mike Manfred, and Robert Paulson.
Hey,
off to the side.
That's his name.
And Tiramari Jyothi and Wonder Dave in a even more strange Thor Loki kind of pairing.
Yeah. A Thoki.
And what are you guys going to be representing?
Changing movies from the previous movie that you did.
We will be championing Galaxy Quest.
I swear to God.
I want to point out that Wonder Dave is on Tiramari's team because the only way that he can not lose to Tiramari.
Wait,
Mike Manfred, do your Stratego analogy you did off air explaining Tiramari and I's relationship. I have a very good win record if you're new to this podcast. I win a lot, not this season, apparently. And Tiramari's lost a lot, but also not this season when we have faced off with one another. What's your analogy,
man? Tiramari is like the spy in Stratego, which any soldier will kill it except for the general. General dies to the spy, and that's those two. Thank you.
All right, yeah. I will say, after telling people a bunch of stories about my experiences in San Francisco, I think I'm unique in that a bunch of people have tried to start fights with me, but then they stop. So I've still never been in a fight in my life, but I've been threatened dozens of times in the city.
We get it. You're a badass.
No, okay, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, that makes two of us, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing right now, but we're going to go ahead and give it over to Team One, talking about Fight Club. Christy, Sam, Mike, you have 2 minutes to talk. Let's see if you can represent Fight Club here, who's coming in at the last possible goddamn second to win this thing in 3, 2, and 1.
Fight Club is actually The Great Gatsby, and Chuck Palahniuk actually talked about this in the afterword to the book. If you read Great Gatsby thinking of Nick as Jay Gatsby's previous self, and that they are the same person, it is the same book/movie. And watching it from that lens and not from the lens of frat and or freshman year dorm poster wall,
So the people in the Fight Club are the tides beating ceaselessly into the past in this book?
Or the green light, yes.
Or the green light, correct.
That is correct.
Wow, that's beautiful. I always saw this is not a revelation for me. I've always watched the Fight Club as a Great Gatsby story. Mark has his face in his hands right now. Oh, no.
Listen, he'll come around.
Careful, old sport. Don't get down on yourself.
You created this monster today. Fight Club is a movie that everyone loves, except for everyone that hates it. And for now, fuck them.
We are handicapped right now because we can't actually talk about why the Fight Club is the best. Because we can't talk about it. It's the rule.
The book was pretty good. I like Chuck Palahniuk. He's a cool guy.
Has anyone read the short story he did called Guts? It's about
No, tell us about it.
it's about a kid who has an encounter with this pool suction thing, and the name of the story is Guts, and I'll let you have your imagination.
I was hoping that you would tell the story and like half of us would have thrown up. Like that would have been the coolest part.
I already did. On to Brad Pitt's glistening slick abs.
Oh, we're fun.
And that was Christy, Mike, and Sam talking about Fight Club the movie.
We figured out our strategy,
To take a term from Fight Club the book. All of you are single-serving friends to me right now. But it's okay.
Maybe they just wanted to destroy something beautiful. Because Fight Club is a beautiful movie.
All right. Well, Tiramari, Wonder Dave, you have your work cut out for you. They just went ahead and built a fortress around the book. as The Great Gatsby, as well as
misdirection,
as well as the short story Guts from the Haunted series that, or the Haunted compendium. Yeah, yeah, that Chuck put out. So, you guys got your Just saying, Tiramari, Dwonder Dave, you guys have a lot to do here.
I think we're ready.
Give you 2 minutes on the clock. And 3, 2, whatever.
Hello. At this juncture in this two-part 1999 movie podcast, we've addressed a lot of amazing things about Galaxy Quest. It has a truly amazing cast, and we've addressed the main cast, but I would like to address a brilliant character actress who is kind of an unsung hero in the film and literally everything she's in. I'm, of course, talking about Missy Pyle, my friends. Yeah! Missy Pyle is fucking amazing. She's an American treasure. Fun fact, when she was in her acting class, one of her teachers said because she looked weird, she would never be successful in Hollywood, and she is the only famous person from her acting class. Never let anything stop it, okay? Fuck that teacher. Missy Pyle is just out here succeeding and proving the world wrong. I don't know what she's doing. She's doing a great job, though, and she's very funny in the film. She plays one of the aliens. Her name is La Liara, which I believe is pronounced in the alien language in the film. But it is a good ensemble cast movie and has, in addition to the great stars of the film, also has a really good supporting cast. Enrico Colantoni, I'm going to say his name wrong, but he's also very funny in the movie. We mentioned Justin Long a little bit. He's great.
No, what? No, you're not getting anything. can I continue?
Yeah, go for it.
So here's the thing. Fuck Fight Club. What? You guys are talking about a book? We're not here to read. I didn't even write any notes down to read off of the notebook. So the point is that, wait, we're talking about movies and which one is better, and Galaxy Quest is way better than Fight Club. Here's the thing, is that Fight Club is very appealing to fucking edgelords who think they're really tough, and they keep citing Tyler Durden without realizing that it is actually a critique on toxic masculinity. And you can say that's a point for Fight Club, but really, art is reflective of how people consume it. And so really, they did a bad job of getting their message across. Yeah. Fight Club is for fucking edgelords. Galaxy Quest is fucking great.
And in our movie, we have a big fight scene, and it involves fighting a giant rock monster. And in your movie, you have a big fight scene, it involves fighting Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Jared Leto defense. Nice.
He sucks.
All right, well, Team Fight
I'm
Club.
I'm trying to be the main one.
We're going
to
give you a minute to make your rebuttal. Hopefully we can... Hopefully we can come up with something here. 60 seconds on the clock there, Producer Will, in 3, 2, and 1.
He beats up Jared Leto, all right? Also, in Galaxy Quest, Michael Ian Black is also an alien, so that's a point for you guys.
So, we're not going to say that it's not a deconstruction of toxic masculinity and the negative impact it has on cultures, but it's even, arguably, even more importantly, it has the greatest form of toxic masculinity in the world, fucking capitalism, and it breaks it down at the end. And if you don't shed a fucking tear for those credit card companies breaking down at the bottom, then you're a bad person. So I just want to point out that there isn't a single moment in Galaxy Quest where they destroy icons of the systems of oppression that keep us all down. So I'll be interested to see what you guys have to say to that. Okay.
You guys have a rock fighting, but we have rock hard abs fighting.
Also, Edward Norton is just fantastic.
Yeah, no one.
Everything he touches is gold.
No one shoots himself in the mouth to save the world in your movie.
Edward Norton showed up in the one season long show of Stella, which included Michael Ian Black.
Great show.
Look, we're connected. We're the same, you and I.
Are you trying to recruit them?
I don't know.
Is that how this is working?
I thought that was a very well-reasoned, measured argument and rebuttal towards Galaxy Quest on the part of Fight Club.
I feel like there's a little bias coming from the announcer here.
What? Oh.
His bangs are even lower in front
of his
eyes.
I'm just very tired. No. My bangs are so depressed right now, you guys. It's going from like Milhouse to K-pop real quickly. All right. Wonder Dave and Tiramari, you have a minute.
Milhouse and BTS.
Don't even get me started. Yeah. Okay. Tier Mari, Wonder Dave, 1 minute on the clock to talk Galaxy Quest, or whatever you want at this point. let's hear from you in 3, 2, and 1.
All right, our film is award-winning. We won the Hugo Award for Best Dramatic Presentation. Did you guys win a Hugo Award? No. Maybe because you're not a science fiction film, but whatever. We also won the Nebula Award for Best Script. And we also won the Hearts of America, so I think we're doing great. Tier Mari, what would you like to... I have a counterpoint. You guys keep talking. You're like, our film has rock hard abs in it. And actually, no, it doesn't, because Tyler Durden isn't real. That's the whole point. He's a power fantasy of Edward Norton's character, whose name I don't even remember. Didn't have one. That's right. Why I don't remember it. I also, there was a dick in your movie. Whatever. if several dicks.
Fucking strap in. I'm about to bring some hot fire to this shit. First of all, fuck you guys. And then also, secondly, fuck Fight Club again. You're talking about, like, critique of capitalism? What's better than a piece of fiction based on Star Trek, which is a post-scarcity society where people just explore for the sake of exploring the galaxy and the universe and gathering knowledge and not worrying about fucking capitalism? Also, I heard that Edward Norton is a shitty person. He's apparently a giant shitbag on sets, and producer Will is nodding, and that is the most definitive thing that you could ever want in a Nerd Rage debate.
Tier Mari.
Tim Allen was a Coke dealer.
Listen, my Coke dealer's a great guy, so I don't...
Yeah, dude. Drug laws have ruined this nation, and you know that.
Tier Mari, I just want to say, Tier Mari, this is the most, like, fired up and, like, quote-unquote alpha I've ever seen you. And I'm like, Wonder Dave, if this is your Tyler Durden right now, speaking... Yes.
Wait, can you wait? Can you guys see me right now? You guys can all see me.
Yeah,
I am the power fantasy of comedia.
You are.
No one laughed at that at all.
No,
that's because we all believe it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we're gonna throw it over to the studio audience.
I can't even
see
Mark's eyes anymore. He looks like he's in the Gorillas or something.
Whoa! What? We're gonna throw this over to the studio audience. If you want to give it to Mike Manfred, Cristiano, and Sam Burtkin for Fight Club, let's hear you.
Sam, you're clapping.
I know.
And if you want to give it to Wonder Dave and his power fantasy, let's hear you for Galaxy Quest.
Yay. Also, my power fantasy. My power fantasy wins. Thank
so
you.
So that I would like is going to note that cement that win. Wonder Dave, you have won this thing.
Oh, thank you.
For Galaxy Quest. How does it feel, sir?
I feel so amazing. It was very weird that I did this whole thing with two mics, and then I did two voices for it. And then I made up the fictional character of Tier Mari Jothi to achieve my goals. But you know what? I got to bang Helena Bonham Carter, so it was really all worth it in the end.
His name was Tier Mari.
Yeah. Does your alter ego want to speak?
No. He has no interest in doing that.
But if
he would probably tell you that he's doing some fun KML shows coming up, so you should check him out on that. You can follow him at Tiramario, my alter ego, on Instagram. And he would probably plug this thing where I pretend I'm very good at video games called Super Trash Brothers. Because part of my power fantasy is being good at video games. A thing that in reality I am not, but my power fantasy, very good at them. And you can check me out at Hood Slam, Sexy Good Time Wrestle Show. And I think that's all my power fantasy and I have to say.
Okay, cool.
Oh, that's fun.
The mic is lying on the ground.
It's a good bit.
My power fantasy always thinks my bits are good.
All right.
Whoa.
Well, I'm Mark Abrigo, and this has been Nerd Rage.
Are you sure?
Great debates. I think I'm starting to come back to life here. All right. If you liked what you heard, head over to nerdragepodcast.com, or you can check out the podcast on pretty much every platform. You can get podcasts from Stitcher to Spotify to Pandora, which we're apparently on now, which is pretty sweet. So go ahead and check that out for episodes like this. We've got plenty in the archive and the vault that you guys can go and check out and listen to a bunch of weird stuff. Maybe not as weird as this tournament, and definitely not without... what do you call it? An imaginary power fantasy who has just won a tournament, and I'm looking at you, and I see you. I see you, Tier Mari.
I feel seen.
There we go.
You're like a ghost with a sixth sense.
You know, part of my power fantasy is feeling seen, so okay. I get it.
So on behalf of everybody that you just heard, on behalf of producer Will Scoble over here, I want to say thank you and check us out next time on Nerd Rage Degree Debates.